Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday. Mr. Myrtle Beach, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio? You up for that?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
I'm Oren.
Oren?
Yep.
That is an unusual name. Where'd that come from?
It's a family name. I'm actually the seventh.
Get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
What's the heritage? Where does that come from?
Not exactly sure. I don't know.
But you had a great, 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 great Oren.
Yes.
From what country?
I'd assume English, maybe some Scottish. I don't know exactly.
All right, what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
I'm a mechanical engineer.
Because you want to be a mechanical engineer, don't you?
I do.
Huh? Yeah. What does that mean? What does a mechanical engineer do?
A mechanical engineer can do anything.
Like, well, not anything.
Well, I mean, everybody needs an engineer, and if you want an engineer, you might as well get a mechanical engineer, because we can do a little of everything.
So you could do what an electrical engineer does?
Not in as much detail, but we do take a few courses on electrical engineering.
Okay, so here's what I just learned. Kind of, you would be like the general practice doctor of engineering.
That's exactly it.
As opposed to a specialist in whatever it happened to be.
Right, right. We're the backbone, they're the details.
Got it. And is there a little bit of an attitude between the different camps?
I mean, not really. I think the engineers are pretty
united. I sensed a little coming from you that if you're going to get an engineer, get a mechanical engineer. Like, you guys are better than the rest.
I would not say we're better than the rest. I say without them, we'd have no purpose. So it's important to keep your allies.
All right, speaking of purpose, what do you think your purpose in life is? I mean, yeah, you want to be a mechanical engineer, but you know the big thing. What's the point? What are you doing? Where are you going?
I'm actually looking into the business market.
No. I'm talking kind of philosophically, not just how you make a paycheck. What is your purpose? Why are you, Oren, seventh generation, here?
That is a good question, and if I had a good answer, I would give it.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Have you pondered it?
I have thought about it, but I've not come to any conclusions.
Have you gotten warm?
Have I gotten warm?
Yeah, have you come up with, you know, I'm here to make money. The purpose of life is to have fun, eat, drink, and be merry. The purpose in life is to glorify God. The purpose in life is to what?
I think it's, a combination. I mean, there's no direct answers for me, let alone anyone else.
Are you a postmodern? Do you know what that means?
Not in much detail.
A postmodern would say, you can believe whatever you want to. That's your truth. It's valid because you believe it. It can be completely different than my truth, but it's still true for you. Would that describe you?
In a way, I'd say it would.
Okay, so here, let me ask you this question. I happen to be, here's my answer to the purpose question.
Okay.
I'm a Christian.
All right, I am as well.
You are as well. I think the goal in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. All right? Would you agree with that?
I would agree that is a very good purpose in life. I mean, it's...
Okay, change that then. I'm a Hindu, and I believe the purpose in life is to lose all of my desires so that ultimately I can enter nirvana, or enter into nothingness. That's my purpose in life. Here's my question.
All right.
Do you think I'm wrong?
You're not hurting anyone.
Not the question. Do you think I'm wrong?
Do I think you're wrong?
Yes, sir. I'm a Hindu. The purpose in life is to lose all desires so that I can be connected to the great big divine. Whatever that happens to be.
Well, that's a very... I mean, it's an opinion question. So my opinion is I'm a Christian and I believe in the Christian faith. So...
But do you believe I'm wrong? I'll take it another level for you. You ready for this
one? All right.
I believe that the great big goddess of the universe is Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if I say Lady Gaga's name 16 times right before I die, I'm going to spend paradise in Funky Town with Lady Gaga, singing her greatest hit. What is it? Do you remember the song?
I don't even know.
Okay. So I'm going to be singing Lady Gaga songs for eternity in Funky Town with Lady Gaga. Do you think I'm wrong, Oren?
Well, I guess you're always opinionated by your own beliefs, so yes, I think you're wrong.
There you go. Because if you're fighting it on the inside going, well, no, you're not wrong because that's what you believe, that's postmodernism.
Okay.
Which says you can believe whatever you want to and it's right for you, even though I believe it's completely different than what I believe.
All right.
So the question really is, if I'm wrong, who's right? Who do you think is right philosophically when it comes to God? Do you think you're right?
Well, I obviously think I'm right because I believe what I think, but I guess I can't prove it, just as you can't prove that Lady Gaga isn't the supreme being.
No, but I don't have a whole lot of evidence for it, do I?
No, you don't.
Why are you a Christian, Oren?
Well, I guess it started, I mean, I was born a Christian, I went to church, and I just believed, I mean, thought about it, and it seemed true to me.
Okay. What denomination?
Non-denominational.
Non-denominational? So, you would say that you are a Christian, and would you also say that that is so evident in your life? If I assembled all of your friends, they would say the most important thing in Oren's life is Jesus Christ. Would they say that?
I don't believe that they would. I follow the Bible. I believe in the Bible. I try to live the way the Bible portrays how you're supposed to live. But, I mean, I'm not widely open about it. I don't know what you're looking for exactly.
Nothing specific. If I asked you the question, would you consider yourself to be a good person? What would you say?
I would say that, yes, I believe I'm a good person.
How come?
I mean, I care about other people. I want to make sure that no injustices are done to them.
The Bible says that everybody is sinful by nature and corrupt and wicked at heart. Mm-hmm. And all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Mm-hmm. How do you harmonize that with your opinion that you're a good person?
Well, drawing a blank here. This is a good question. Will you restate it in a slightly different way?
The Bible says you're a bad person.
Okay.
You said you're a good person.
Right.
Something's not making sense.
Well, I'm not a perfect person. I have sins. I commit injustices. That's because I'm a human, and it's natural for humans to make mistakes.
Do you remember a time in your life? Because you're how old now?
22.
22. Sometime in your life when, you know, you were born into the church and you maybe grew up going to church and you learned the Jesus songs and that's just what you did because mom and dad did. But you, as a man, when you really thought it over and you realized, you know what, that whole Bible thing, it's very true. And I'm a very bad man and I'm a very bad sinner and I need to be forgiven by God.
Yes, I definitely believe that.
Yeah. When did that happen for you?
It happened long ago. I can't give you a time or anything, but I've always been aware of that I do make mistakes, that I'm not perfect, and I definitely need to be forgiven for my mistakes. So I ask for forgiveness for
when Jesus said a man must be born again or he will not see the kingdom of God. Do you believe that you have been born again?
I definitely believe I've been born again.
When did that happen?
I believe I made the prayer, I think I got the feeling around 7 or 8, and then I talked to my parents about it and asked them how to become born again. Yes.
Yeah. And what did they say?
Well, I prayed with my mother, and you got to take Jesus into your heart, except that you do have sins, and he died on this earth for your sins.
Right.
And
did you repent?
Yes, I was definitely sorry for my sins and still am currently.
And did you turn from your sins?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, no. I mean, try to do what's right, but I still do commit sins. I'm aware of. I'm sorry I do.
This is a good test, Oren. Christian sin, you're right about that. We do sin. The difference, though, between a Christian and somebody who's self-deceived is a real Christian does sin, but it's a falling into sin. We fall, we hate it, get back up straight away. apologize and get back to serving God. A false convert or somebody who's not a Christian, they live in sin. They wake up, they plan it, they plot it, they do it, don't care much that they've done it, and then they go to bed and they get up and they repeat the process, and they live a lifestyle of sin. Mm-hmm. Are you the former or the latter when you say that you sin?
I don't live in sin. I don't ignore my sins every day. I'm very well aware and I'm very sorry for them, and I try to rectify them and not to commit the same sins again.
Do you know for sure that if you died right now that you'd be going to heaven?
I do.
How come?
Because I believe what the Bible says, that if you accept Jesus in your heart and you ask for forgiveness, that you will be forgiven and accepted into heaven.
Okay, so you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that's
without
your eternity.
Yes, sir.
So I don't need to witness to you. You're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Rock on.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you, Oren.
It's nice to meet you, too.
All right, dude. Go mechanical engineer.
All right, thank you.
All right,
you.
Goodbye.
Can I get your name?
My name is Todd.
Todd?
Yes. Nice to meet you, Oren. What do you think? How did Oren do? That's an example where when somebody says that they are a Christian and they say that they accepted Jesus or asked Jesus into their heart at the age of 7 or 8, it is good to probe. It is good to dig in. It is good to make sure that somebody understands the gospel clearly. Now, is that fellow saved? I sure hope so, don't you? We will keep going here. It is a Witness Wednesday. A skinny one. Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Hu is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Hu, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options: be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Revelation. God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Young man, while you're walking, could I ask you just one question on the radio? That'd be okay?
Yes.
How long have you lived in the United States of America? I guess it's going to be two questions now.
5 months.
Oh, 5 months. Where are you from?
I'm from France.
No kidding. All right, so here's my question for you, young man.
Yeah.
You've been here for 5 months. Let's get out of the way of this car so we don't get killed, huh?
Yeah.
That's no way to end life. My question for you is, has anybody tried to convert you to their religion?
No.
Nobody?
No.
Have they brought it up? Have they asked you what your faith is?
Some people on the street, yeah.
Some people on the street?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they say? What did they do to you?
Well, just hand out some...
some information. Because I just got this from a guy walking by, too. He handed me a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's tried to hand you a flyer. So somebody's tried to convert you. Is that right?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, so, yeah.
What about friends? Do you have any Christian friends?
Yes, I do.
Have they tried to witness to you or share their faith with you?
Not really, no.
Hmm. What are you, religiously?
I'm an atheist.
An atheist?
Yeah.
So you don't believe in God at all?
No.
How come?
Well, in my family, nobody's religious, so, you know.
But you're a
like
man,
that.
And you've thought these things through a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And you've concluded there's no evidence of God?
I don't believe in any of the institutional systems of God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there may be some kind of power which is above all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I can believe in one particular system.
What are you studying at Georgia Tech?
Aerospace engineering.
So engineering,
yeah.
Things that are designed and structured.
Yeah.
If I gave you the argument of design, the argument of complexity...
Mm-hmm.
That, for instance, we look at this railing going up these stairs. We look at these stairs,
yeah.
And there's, what, 15, 20 stairs, but they're put together so in such an organized fashion, somebody had to make them.
Yes.
Right behind us are a bunch of plants, and there's a universe above us and stars, and it's all really organized.
Yeah.
Just
there
like
are probably
I can,
some rules behind it.
Probably some rules and a rule maker.
Yeah.
And a rule enforcer. So that would be God.
Yeah, if that's
fair
the definition
enough.
Of God, I believe in God, yeah.
Okay.
But now,
you have to figure out who
there's
it
difference
is.
Between believing in something which makes the world behind us and going to church every Sunday and such things.
You're right. There is a difference.
Yeah.
Would this be a logical conclusion? I look at human beings, and if human beings have been designed by God... And I look at the attributes of people, and one of the things that I notice is they communicate. You and I are talking.
Mm-hmm.
We share information.
Yeah.
Would it be reasonable to conclude that if God made us, and if I communicate, then, He must communicate. So now my question is, has the Creator communicated with people? Is there any evidence that, let's call Him God, that God... has desired to share information with us? Does anybody claim to have a revelation from God? And I think you've got people like Christianity, and you've got Hinduism and Buddhism, and you've got Mormonism and Islam, all claim that God has spoken, and they've got the truth.
Yeah.
So now I'm asking myself the question, are any of them true? I know you don't like institutionalized religion, but just because you don't like what man has turned it into doesn't change the fact that God exists and He's spoken. So now the question is, do any of those religions have the truth? That's the key. Does any religion have the truth?
Well, for me, no, because I don't believe in any religion.
But that doesn't answer the question, are any of them true?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Okay. So what is the truth claim about Christianity? Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. Christianity claims to be the only true religion. Here's, it basically says all the other religions you can put into a circle and they all say one thing, do stuff, and maybe God, whoever that is, will be pleased with you. Christianity stands alone and says you can't do enough to be pleasing to God because we are innately bad people. Would you agree with that human beings are basically bad? Do you think you're a good person?
What does good mean?
Good question. Let's say the standard for good is God's standard. If God had a standard, let's say it's the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. For instance, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, commit adultery. Have you told any lies?
Yes.
Okay. Have you stolen anything?
No.
Nothing?
No. But are there really criteria for being good?
Is there what?
Are there really criteria for being good?
Well, I think that every society agrees that lying and stealing and murder is bad. And I think the reason is it's our conscience that tells us these things are bad. When you tell a lie, you know that you did wrong.
Yeah, that's a bad thing, but does that make you a bad person?
Well, this is a little bit extreme, but how many bad things does somebody need to do to be a bad person?
Yeah.
One murder, you're a murderer. One rape,
maybe
you're
two.
A rapist.
Yeah.
One lie, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
One angry thought, you're a murderer at heart. You don't do the act, but you murder in the heart. What about lusting? Looking at women, having sexual desires.
Mm-hmm.
You're smirking. Okay, that would be one of God's standards, that your thought life should be pure. Not just what you do, but what goes on inside of your head and your heart. So based on that standard, would you be considered a good person or a bad person?
I can't answer that question. That's
uncomfortable.
No, that's not uncomfortable. That's just, it's difficult to say if someone is good or bad. I can say I do something good or I do something bad, but a person is a whole set of good things and bad things.
I agree.
It's just not black and white.
Well, the question I think that comes into play is the concept of justice.
Yeah.
Because if a criminal stood before a judge and said, "Judge, I broke the law, whatever it happens to be, but I've done good things.
Mm-hmm.
I've paid my taxes. I gave money to charity."
Yeah.
Would the judge say, "Oh, never mind. Turns out you're a good guy. I'll set you free." Or would the judge say, "It's really irrelevant. It has nothing to do with your court case. Your court case says that you're a guilty criminal. And you can plead your goodness all you want, but you still have justice to satisfy."
Yeah.
So you...
But the justice of a judge is not the justice of God. And
unless God is the judge.
Yeah.
Then it would be the justice of the judge.
Yeah. Okay.
And that seems to make sense, that the one who made us owns us, and we're responsible to him and should answer to him. Wouldn't that be reasonable of your creator to say, "I'm going to have you give an account because I own you, and I've got rules, and I've given you a conscience that you can know right and wrong"?
Yeah. Okay.
Are you buying any of this, or are you just kind of going along with me and being a polite Frenchman?
I'm polite. I don't know if it's polite, but I agree.
So, the good news about Christianity is all these other religions say, try really hard.
Mm-hmm.
This will be like a worldview. This will be like a world religion class in a nutshell. All of these say, do, try hard, lose your desires, lose your lusts, do good things, give money, visit a location, say your prayers, and maybe things will go well with you. Christianity says, nope, doesn't work that way. You're a guilty criminal, and the just judge of all the world must give you what you've earned for yourself, and he describes it as hell. That people who rebel against God, who break his laws, will earn for themselves punishment. That is justice. But God is good, and he's rich in mercy, and he desires to save you. His desire is not to send you to hell, but to rescue you from hell. But there's tension now. He's got to punish you because you've been bad. But he's good, and he wants to save you. So, to make sure that justice is satisfied, so that he doesn't turn his back, if a judge said, "Well, I'm just really nice, and I'm going to let all the criminals go," that wouldn't be right. If he's a good judge, he has to punish the lawbreakers. So God, in his mercy, sent his son, Christianity is named after Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that you deserve. I don't know if you've heard the story about Jesus living on earth and dying on a cross.
Yes.
So when Jesus was hanging on a cross, God was looking basically at you. The punishment that you deserve was put on Jesus. All the bad things you've done, Jesus took the punishment for, so that your court case could be satisfied. Your debt to God has been paid by Jesus. If you will repent and put your trust in him. If you'll turn from your sins and trust in his works and not your own, his goodness credited to your account so that you could be set free and made right with God. That's the good news of Christianity. These all say do and good luck. This one says it's been done for you, and I'm kind and I'll save you because I actually love you even though you've been a bad sinner. That's what Christianity is.
Yeah.
God is love, and he desires to save you. So you have now been officially witnessed to in America. All right? Somebody has now tried to convert you here in America.
Yeah.
I'm pleading with you. Listen to your conscience. And if it troubles you, think about the good news that Jesus Christ offers. Fair enough?
Yeah.
You've been very tolerant.
Yeah, and I like the way you talk to me. That was more open-minded to the image I had.
Well, I'm glad. Young man, I hope school goes well for you.
Thanks.
Okay, goodbye. See you. And now I'd like to pray an imprecatory prayer on that tractor. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.